I'm joined by Christopher Stagg, who you know is here on a Tuesday TFI 90s between 6 and 8pm. He's also a writer and he's also got a play as well. He's very, very creative. How marvellous is that? And you have an interest in the all things occult.
I do, definitely.
So originally you were on the station, how many years ago? Because you had a bit of a break and you came back.
2014 I joined.
Yep.
And I had a break kind of like the midpoint of the pandemic. For 2-3 years, I think.
Yeah.
And then I came back June last year, I think.
Yeah.
Which has flown by. It's really, really gone quick.
And tell everybody about the show.
TFI 90s is a weekly 90s music show. We don't play any particular genre. We just, you know, whatever takes our fancy week by week, we play. Sometimes we play a little bit from the late 80s or early 2000s because of that kind of bleed over. We're not completely strict on it. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. We do requests as well.
Yeah.
Which I know you're not a fan of.
No, I don't mind requests. It's if I haven't got the song, that's the only thing. So, yeah. But, yeah, you can check out your show and also all of the shows that you've done are up online as well.
They are, yeah. Yep.
There we go. So if you love your 90s, tune in on a Tuesday. Now, what should we start with first? Should we start with the play or the book?
We can start with the book. So I'm curating. So I've got one story in these books. But there'll be 9 other stories from other people. And it's a series of horror-ish anthologies I'm doing with Red Cape Publishing. And the first one came out last year. It was called Tales of the Gothic. So it's like a gothic anthology. It was really, really good. Quite difficult to pare it down to because people submit stories to the 9 that I wanted to include. And in the end, it came down to like what would work well together. We've just got the stories together for the next one, which should be out in a couple of months, which is Tales of Folk Horror. And that was really, really difficult. We had a massive, it's a really popular genre, and we had a massive kind of influx of submissions. And they were really, really, really good. So it was quite difficult to get that to the final number, but really, really pleased, high quality that it is with the finished result. As I say, that'll be a couple of months. And then we're going to be doing over the next 2 years, 3 more. I'm not sure what order, but there'll be Tales of the Paranormal, Tales of the Occult, and Tales of Cosmic Horror, which is like H.P. Lovecraft, giant elder gods and tentacles and things like that.
So with these, are these stories that are true, based on truth or people's experiences, or are they stories?
No, it's completely fiction. So right. they're short story collections.
Yeah.
I'm on the fence with whether I believe in that kind of stuff or not. Lots of things I've seen and heard, but I could never make the jump to say it's definitely paranormal. I don't want to scare you, Michelle, but I've seen something in this building a few years ago.
Yeah, Scott Ross heard something as well. Yeah. Which studio was it?
Is studio
it
Studio 2? Yeah.
Yeah. There is definitely something a bit, yeah.
Because I'm describing something that people can't see, but there's a door in there with a sofa hard up against it that isn't really used. It's like a little storeroom. And one day I heard a noise, a really loud noise, and I come in and the sofa had moved and the door was open a little bit, and I thought that was really strange, especially as I knew that it was shut before.
That's probably the podiatrist next door. And he is very much alive and working. Hello, if you're listening. You'll be going, I'm still alive, I'm still here. Are they coming out in hard back copies or are they online? How do they work?
They come out in paperback and they come out as an ebook the same day. And then a few months later, I think very soon, the first one is due to come out in hardback now. You can get it online, you know, those big online retailers, and or direct from the publisher as well, which is Red Cape Publishing.
And is there any books that you're doing for children, or is there an age kind of, is this sort of some 16 upwards, or is there?
I wouldn't say they're really, really scary. Mm. I mean, I don't really like to include things that are really graphic. They're not for children, but I think more mature kids could certainly read it. Like my daughter's 13, she would have no problem reading the first one, the second one as well. There's nothing, you know, it's just, it should just give you a chill. It's not grotesque or anything extreme or anything like that.
Is there any pictures, or is it all just
pure
stories?
Nope, just pure stories in there.
Yeah. So you've got those.
Yep.
And you've also got a play. Now, that's going to be at the Red Lion. Old Red Lion,
yep.
Sorry, on the 21st and the 25th of January.
Yes. This is my third play, but it's the first time I'm directing and producing with my wife. My wife's producing as well. And it's been a steep learning curve. We did one night in the 30th of October at a festival called Grimfest that's held at the Old Red Lion. We did that last year. It was really, really well received and it sold out. So we thought we would, because there was a lot of demand for tickets and people were saying, oh, I really wanted to come, can you get tickets? And we were absolutely packed out. We even opened up a few more, like put some extra chairs in and things. So now we're doing the run. So we've got five nights. Seems to be going really well. Tickets are selling. It's something that it's just, it was a really steep learning curve to try and do it yourself, but something I wanted to try, and it's hard work, but it's really fun as well, really rewarding. It's just been a really enjoyable experience. Everyone we're working with as well has been great. The cast, the technical people, I've even roped in a mate to carry stuff around, which was just really, really kind of him. But yeah, it all started during the pandemic. Something to do at lunchtime, so I was working from home, was to do an online playwriting course, and I really enjoyed it. And then off the back of that, I just chucked one into a festival that they hold in East Anglia called Ink Festival, and it was chosen, which I couldn't believe. And it just kind of snowballed from there. So off the back of that, I was able to do a scratch night, and then I got another piece selected for someone else and it was produced. So that was we did an anthology night of plays the year before last, and we're going to be turning that into an audio series. So the host of it, who I wrote, will introduce a new story, and it'll be released on YouTube every month, say, or every couple of weeks, and we'll have a kind of audio book story that he introduces, a bit like an audio Tales from the Crypt or something like that.
I heard you say the word scratch night.
So scratch night is in playwriting or any kind of stage stuff that you do. A scratch night is where you go to a venue and they put on a night and it's completely free, you don't get paid, but the idea is there's some actors there who will do your work with script in hand, so they get like a couple of hours to rehearse. And then in the audience there might be producers and that kind of thing who might take an interest in your work, but the main thing is you get to see it played out in front of you and you get to hear the actors and how they're working. It's supposed to be a development opportunity, and off the back of that, one of the producers of the Grimfest Festival saw my piece and asked if I would like it to be part of an anthology night she was running, and that went really well as well. And I like to cross pollinate things. So there was something in that I put in that play that's in this play, and I've actually brought it in to show you.
Oh, go on then.
Okay.
Oh, it's in the bag. I wasn't allowed to look in the bag, but it's coming out now. Oh, what is it? What's in the bag? Oh no! Oh no!
This is Klaus the haunted doll.
No, I don't. There's something about those sort of Victorian looking dolls with the eyes that move.
Yeah.
That frighten the life out of you.
You can hold him if you want.
No. Okay. Is it a girl or a boy?
Well, the spirit inside is a boy.
Oh.
It's called Klaus.
Oh, hello.
That inhabits the doll.
Yes. Oh. I'm not looking. It's looking at me. One eye is
it?
I can turn it
a little bit to you. I'll just leave it. Imagine if once I'm gone, you say goodbye, you come in, it's sitting on your chair or something.
Yeah, it's scuttling around. Well, probably do a better show than I would.
It was quite funny, actually. Nina, who was the producer of the anthology night we did, I dropped off some props to her flat. And when she wasn't looking, Klaus was on the props. I left it on her toilet.
Well, you pull back the covers in bed and it's just there. Yeah. You're like, oh my God. So what's the title of the play?
The Seance.
The Seance.
And we do a real... inverted commas, a real seance live on stage. And so allegedly the Old Red Lion is a haunted venue. There's lots of stories of ghosts in there. People swear they've seen and felt things in there. Personally, I haven't, but as I say, I'm on the fence with it all. I haven't spent that much time there. And the seance is a play about two friends who go and see a spiritualist medium, because Emily, the believer in our play, she's experiencing strange dreams and premonitions that affect her friend Jonathan, who's a skeptic. They go and see the medium to try and work it out, and it seems to be based around this doll and a little girl called Emily who went missing. And let me tell you, if you've got an actor called Emily and another cast member whose character's Emily, it gets really, really confusing. And so as the play goes on, it's kind of demonstrates different techniques that were used in Victorian spiritualism. Because originally my idea was to just have a night of someone demonstrating. But I thought that's going to be quite short. I'm not sure it'll be that engaging. So that's when it came to be put into a play. And our medium would do, we use a spirit board, a Ouija board, which is mine. And it was a prop from a film. She uses that at one point in it. She does scrying, which classic example of scrying is a crystal ball. But she uses moon water taken from a ritual and ink to try and look into it. There's tarot and poppets are used as well.
What are poppets?
Poppets, like voodoo dolls.
Oh.
So she takes the hair of one of the cast and uses it in the show. And yeah, it's one of those things. What I like to do is there's a couple of points in the show where like the effects and things are heavily rely on lighting and sound effects. Tammy, who did all our sound design, really, really cool. She was really good. She's done a really good job. And the lighting changes at two different points in the play. And it's kind of like I try and give a subconscious, something's different now. So what you think has happened up to that point, maybe it's a different explanation behind it this point forward. And there's a couple of those that kind of just ramps things up as well until hopefully it's quite scary at the end.
Now, I've only been involved, I mean, I do get to speak to a lot of the Andram groups that come in who'd put on professional shows like what you would see at the West End because they are that good. I was only involved in one, and I tell you, the level of work that the producer had to put in to put that on, from the booking the theatre, which was in the Grays Theatre, which is a big theatre there. The people doing all the props, the stages, the hands, the people in the background, that's massive. Plus the rehearsal time, plus people on stage, plus the director telling you, you know, it's also directing telling you what you do, your character, the costumes. It's endless. It is endless. And it must be. And you are basically in control of the whole lot.
You're doing everything. Yeah. I mean, rehearsals, trying to get the cast in the same place at the same time. We all have day jobs, so it's really, really tough. One of the big saving graces is that Emily, the actor who plays Sophie, her character's a goth, and Emily is like that in real life, so she gets to wear all her own clothes, which is really, really handy.
So that saved you about £1,000 in.
Well, I said, they mention a pentacle, the star in a circle. It's mentioned in the play. So I really wanted to have one on her. She had one. Something else I didn't have to buy. So that was really convenient.
Where did you get your interest in the occult? Because I think people, when they think about the occult, they think of like devil and evil. And there are, I mean, because there's different holidays that people celebrate, which are kind of happy times. It isn't sometimes what people think it is.
Yeah, I mean, my birthday's Halloween, so I think I was destined to always be interested in this kind of thing. And my dad, I've got this memory of my dad always showing me horror films when my mum was out. Now, they got divorced when I was 9. I don't know if that had anything to do with it. I don't know. But it's something I'm very thankful for, because it's a part of my love of horror now. But I think it started with an interest in religion. I was genuinely interested. I'm not a particularly religious person myself, but it's just something that really interested me, the history and how they interact and that kind of thing. And then it was kind of, it moved on to pre-Abrahamic religions and paganism and what would have been here in this country before Christianity. And as you say, the different festivals and things. And it was kind of, they would worship something called the Horned God, the triple goddess and things like that has come back in modern Wicca and those kind of things. And it's kind of like there was a big push, it's not the same now, but there was a big push to kind of demonize those things and say, you know, things with horns and that kind of thing are bad. The occult tends to deal with things that are considered bad, like demons and that kind of thing. Again, it's not something I believe in. It's something that I'm just interested in. I read a lot about, and I like those kind of fiction and horror films and that kind of thing. And it just kind of grows from there. Folklore's tied in as well. I find it a fascinating subject. My family, my grandmother was from Austria, and they have in Austria to do with Christmas a character called Krampus. Yes. And every year my kids celebrate Krampusnacht. So what they do is we changed the folklore a little bit to bring it up to what would make sense to them. So what they do is they leave their shoes out, which is traditional, and Krampus puts sweets and things in there overnight. And but what they also do is that's how Father Christmas gets their Christmas lists. They leave them with the shoes, and they love it. And I think, you know, my youngest one now is borderline doesn't believe anymore, but they all still want to do it, yeah. which is really, really nice.
Now, if people want to find out more about the radio show, you can go to Phoenix FM, obviously, yep. And your show is listed there. But you've also got your own socials too.
Yeah, my Instagram and my Twitter are both CW_stag, which is STAGG. And on Blue Sky now, more and more, which is really difficult. The handle there, it's CWstag. And then it's the .bsky social, whatever it is, yeah. You know, the standard thing.
Yes. And if people want to find out about the old Red Lion and the play on between the 21st and the 25th?
Yep, if you can, I'm pretty relentlessly talking about it on my social media at the moment, or failing that, you can, if you just search the old Red Lion Islington and the seance, and it will come up.
And how much are the tickets?
£15, £13 concessions.
Excellent. What a good night out. And if you fancy that, then get along and find out more. And do check out Phoenix FM as well for all of Chris's shows that he does here on a Tuesday, because they're excellent if you love your 90s music. And if you're a cult, then that... be careful when I say things. That sounds like a great night out of the old Red Lion. I don't want to do a Scott Ross. I mentioned what he said once on there by mistake when he was talking about Katie Tunstall.
I have a question for you, actually, Michelle. Yes. When are we starting our double act, Peaches and Cream?
Oh, well, Peaches and Cream. Are we going on the cruises? This is what we're going to be doing.
It would be good, wouldn't it? Yeah. I mean, I can't guarantee my singing voice. I think I'd be more novelty.
I thought you were playing the drums and doing some backing vocals.
Yeah, I mean, I could be the Peaches. To be honest, I'll be more like Pumpkins, I think.
I do like the name Peaches and Cream. It's like, welcome to the stage, Peaches and Cream. Yeah. You can all be done up in your gothic gear and I can be wearing something in pink.
I was hoping for sequins.
Oh, well, I do. Do you know what? I'm partial to a bit of sequins. Not today, but I do like a little bit of sparkle.
Do you know what? If I could pull it off, I'd wear that kind of stuff all the time.
Yeah,
we cravats could. And neckerchiefs and all that kind of thing.
I've seen a guy on TikTok who's got these all-in-ones. They're onesies, but they're very floaty, so they cut around you like you're going to jump out of an aeroplane, like if you're going to fly like a bat. And they look amazing. They're V-necks. He looks incredible. I'll show you the site.
Yes, please. Yep, thank you.
There you go. Thank you very much to Christopher Stagg.
You're very welcome.